Sharon and I both, we didn't have such good memories of Deep Creek.
Oh, really?
And from the time I was about 14 or 15 until I was about 23,
uh-huh.
Really unsettled times, the only stability I had was Navy years. And she grew up by herself back there on number 10 lane. Her mom didn't drive. She couldn't go nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Like she was in a cage. And my mom died when I was 14 or 15, and my older siblings were gone, and that left me and my dad on a dairy farm, and just the two of us, and we didn't get along.
So, how come? I mean, what was the conflict?
I wasn't in the church, and I couldn't see. They were very conservative. They had just about that time the church was over there split.
Right.
And
now, did your dad go to Pantego?
Almost everybody on my side was related to me. And we weren't here very long, maybe a year or two, until we went to Pantego, and that was even worse. We were 2.5 miles from a paved road down there. There was nothing to do. I was related to everybody, almost. And other than a lot of hunting and fishing, I don't have very good memories, and Sharon, she don't have any. She said her mom and my mom were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom drove, so she'd take her out sometimes. Joe worked all the time. Owen worked. And when the church split, all Deep Creek side went to Deep Creek High School, or Deep Creek Public Schools. And we opened up another school, there were about 15 of us,
mm-hmm.
and if that. We opened up another school, and we never had except for my sister that taught 2 years, we never had a teacher that had a high school education.
Where was that school located?
Huh?
Where was that school located?
Well, the first one was back off the road behind my grandfather's house.
All right, that's back on the Nike site, or close to it, right?
That was the first one.
Okay.
Then the one I went to was, there was a dirt lane by Arvin Weaver's house. I went back in there, and there was Tom Everholt come over with a bulldozer and cleared a section of the woods out there, and we had some good recesses in the woods playing and everything, and there was he left everything piled up in a stump pile called Pope Bear Hill, and that's where everybody played. It was on that stump pile. They didn't play in the ball field. They played on the stump pile. So we had some good times there, but...
Who were some of the other students? And what grade?
I'll send you a picture, I think, of the other students, mm-hmm. that were in the grade school there. I don't have any pictures. Get down, cat.
Well, hey there.
My daughter come in here one night. She said, I need to come over. And then she called and canceled it. And then she said, I'm coming over tonight. Set a box down in the middle of the floor, and he bailed out of it and went under the couch. He's 4 years old, and we just got him not too long ago. And he was a street cat in Gimp.
Huh. A pretty cat.
The people where he stayed, he came and went, but the people where he stayed had 2 Rottweilers, and he slept in their bed. And so anyway, they wanted to get rid of him, and he had a tracking collar on, an Apple tracking collar, and they couldn't find him. They thought, well, the thing wasn't working or what, but so I had to wait a couple of days till he came home, and then he liked to get out. First chance he got out and gone 3 days. And we didn't see him. Pretty soon, one night he came back. I set a trap out there and caught him in the trap. And then that was it. We couldn't catch him no more than that. But he'd come back during the night and went in. So finally we got him about broke with that. But he don't sleep with me, not real cuddly, but I was sleeping the other morning late, about 8:30, and I felt something pushing on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
He stood up and pushing on my arm on the bed. Wake up, wake up. He didn't have no food at 8:30, he ain't ready. But, yeah, anyway, the Nike site split up the first group of people. A bunch of them moved to Amelia. And some of them moved to Ohio. They moved all over the place. And then when the church split again, some of them stayed and went to the Hope Church over there. But when we went to Pantiga, there were two or three families there that left and went other places. So down there, the Kramers were about the only ones I weren't related to.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Marlon and Willis, we were always tight. We were about the same age. And we were the ones that got in trouble.
Marlon was Edna Kramer's? Edna,
yeah.
Okay.
And so when the draft came along, Willis and I had left already. We were a little bit older than Marlon. I had left, come back.
Who was Willis?
10 years old. I didn't have no driver's license. I come back up here, worked for Kenneth Miller, and mm-hmm. lived at my brother's house. And finally, I turned 18. I got a 1960 Comet. And I'd go back and forth and work down there for Marion at Pantiga Door every now and then, live with him for a while, and come up here and work. I lived half a dozen different places, worked half a dozen different jobs, from Cargill Grain, the hanging garage doors, you name it. And I was having a good time, but I very unstable. I didn't have a permanent place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely making enough to put gas in my car. So the draft was breathing down my neck, so I went over there and Portsmouth joined the Navy. And I didn't want to...
Oh, I didn't know you were in the Navy.
Huh?
I didn't know you were in the Navy.
Yeah. 4 years, yeah. We'll go over some of these pictures in a little bit, but I showed this picture to my grandsons the other day, and they didn't know who it was.
Red Dan the Mourner.
I looked at it and said, "Is that Dad?" I said, "No, I'm the only one ever wore a suit like that."
So what'd your folks have to say when you joined the Navy?
67.
What'd your dad have to say when you joined the Navy?
He didn't talk to me for about 4 or 5 years.
Really?
I didn't get a letter from him the whole time I was in the Navy. And my brother supported what I was doing, but my sisters, Caroline did, but she was in Richmond. But no, my dad, he, that whole gang, kind of like the Amish, when one of them goes English, and you know, they're mited from then on. Mm-hmm.
Where all were you stationed?
Hmm?
Where all were you stationed when you were in the Navy?
I was at Fort sea duty for 4 years, so I went 19 different countries, but I was in Vietnam first year. And I got a picture of the ship in here.
What kind of ship were you on?
Two of them. One was a major communications relay ship, and the second one was a combat storage ship.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first one I was on. That was a one-of-a-kind ship that was built for Vietnam. It was major communications relay.
Okay.
Wasn't air conditioned.
So, in Vietnam, and it wasn't?
Over there.
Jeez.
In the summertime. We'd sleep outside on the weather deck sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one was a brand new ship, picked that up in San Diego, went up to Long Beach, had it refitted, come back through the Panama Canal, and then went to the Caribbean a couple times and to the Mediterranean a couple times out of Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Norfolk. We were in the yard in Portsmouth for a while. But that was a brand new ship. We were the first crew on it. And it was nice air conditioning, and what we did was replenish the fleet. We had all the fresh groceries and two helicopters on the back to move it, and high lines on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And those were good times, but when I didn't want to stay in, and when I got out, I didn't have much going on, so I took my VA benefits, and I went to Ryder Truck Driving School in New Jersey, drove a tractor trailer for a couple of years, and I had a bad accident.
What happened?
It hurt. Ran off the road and into the woods with a full load of 40-foot trailer load of refrigerators and cigarettes. It was late, and I had been sick and taking some medication, and I kind of dozed off, and it was snow all over the place, and I hit the snow on the side of the road.
Where were you? Where did it happen?
Zook's Curve on 460 up there near Iowa.
Okay.
They got a guardrail there now. But anyway, they showed me the door the next day. So we were already engaged. I had started dating seriously with her. We were engaged. And I had been working for Wayne and the door company. And so we went over to his house for Sunday dinner, picked up the Sunday paper, and they were hiring firefighters in Virginia Beach. So I applied there in Norfolk, and I got hired in Virginia Beach 3 weeks later. And that was the start of my 26-year career there. And now this December, I will have been retired from there 26 years. I bought back my 4 years in the Navy. It gave me 30 years in the VRS retirement system.
Mm-hmm.
But Jason's, he went right after I got out. He went in Chesapeake 6 years, and then went to Virginia Beach. So he's got 25 years in, five more to go, and he'll be retired from there. But the Deep Creek days, they were unsettled, and Pantiga was even worse.
Who was
drafted in? Well, you were in the 1W.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lottery. If you could breathe and you could walk, you were cannon fodder.
Well, I got deferments for college until I graduated, and then my deferment was gone, and by that time they had the lottery.
Oh.
And my number was so low, as soon as I saw my number, I'm going to get picked. It wasn't only, it was 2 weeks later, I got an Uncle Sam need you letter.
I had a 1A draft card from the get-go.
Yeah.
I had... hadn't gone to high school. I dropped out. All we had was eighth grade, and the way the church would let us go to high school was if we took a correspondence course. So when I went in the Navy, I got GED, and then transferred down to the Virginia State Department of Education, got my GED.
Well, was this the Deep Creek Church or the Hope Church that wouldn't allow beyond the eighth grade?
None of them back then. When the church split, the Deep Creek, they didn't have enough for a school.
Uh-huh.
So they sent them all to the public school. But before that, we all went to the church school.
Okay.
One behind, back there by the Nike site, was the first one. And then they moved it. And then when the church split, they claimed, the Deep Creek Church claimed the school. They wouldn't even sell it to us. Amos Lane and some of them, they held on to it. And they eventually sold it. But... Mm-hmm. We built another one on the other side of my grandpa's house, and they had the church and the school in there until about a year and a half or so, until they started moving to Pantiga. My dad bought 325 acres down there, and split it up.
Mm-hmm.
How the community started. But I don't think any of the young people that were down there, or teenagers and all, stayed there at my age.
Right.
Everybody left eventually.
I just read a book written, or not a book, it was an essay, I guess. No, it was a study. Somebody was doing to get a degree, and they wrote it for their master's or their doctoral thesis on one of Edna Kramer's daughters and her experience of growing up.
Which one?
Can't remember the name now.
They're all dead except for Lois and Debbie. Debbie has got she's a psychologist, lives in Chicago.
I think it's Debbie, because you wound up in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Debbie, that was the youngest one.
Okay.
All the others have died.
Really?
Anyway, Marlon, I was telling you before, Marlon Willis and I, we were three peas in a pod down there.
All right, now who was Willis? Who were his
Willis
parents?
Willis was Elon Peach's adopted. They had three adopted kids.
Okay.
Willis and Philip and Rhoda. And Willis was my age. And right after I went in the Navy, he went in the Marine Corps. And both of us wound up over there in the same place. He was stationed on the Kitty Hawk. And I ran into him one night in the Philippines going back to the Liberty boat and didn't even know he was over there. He was on the Kitty Hawk. I was on the Annapolis. And so when he got out, he always wanted to be a cop. And his dad was a Norfolk cop. He didn't even know him at the time. Willis' biological dad.
Biological, okay.
Was a Norfolk
gotcha.
Cop. So anyway, he went to work at Belhaven Police Department and then Washington, Washington Sheriff's Department. And eventually, he got on the Highway Patrol and he stayed there for 36 years, I think it was. Hmm. He retired lieutenant. And Marlon, he had gone to work down there in the North Carolina Forest Service. He got drafted and went in the Army. They sent him to Korea. He never went to Vietnam. He went to Korea and then Germany. And then back here as a recruiter, he was a sergeant major when he retired. And all three of us went in the service about the same time. But he died of colon cancer a couple of years ago. And Willis said he had a bad heart attack last year, almost died. Well, he lives in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. Been married about six or seven times, I think. Twice the same woman. Got one kid. Marlon was married three times. But anyway, I got a few pictures I thought might be of interest to you. And I can interpret. And then I got that Amish book. That'd be a great interest to you, I think. They already showed you that. That was the first ship I was on. Now this is the house we lived in Pantego.
Okay.
Pile them up here if you want.
And your dad built that?
Yeah. And we was the first one down there. My aunt, when we left, after my mom died, she died in October. We moved my grandpa and Maud lived with him. That was my aunt.
Okay. Maud Hooks?
Nellie. Maud
Hooks.
Okay,
yeah.
And so Maud and Grandpa moved in with us. Well, he died in January, 4 months apart. We had two people die right there in our house. So when we moved down to Pantego, Maud moved down there with us, and Martha Zook moved in with us, and Tommy Overholt had a trailer right next to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he got killed crop dusting. He was a crop duster pilot. He was from Will Overholt's son.
Okay.
Paul Overholt's cousin. And him and Martha were going to get married. And he got killed in a plane accident. And so we lived there. We were the only ones there until the others started building houses around.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Paul, and Sarah and Marion, and John, Esther, and all relatives, and then we built a house back the lane where we lived. Everybody pitched in and built one for the Kramers.
Mm-hmm.
So they were always a lot of fun. I spent most of my time back there.
Oh, really?
They were right. They were like a bunch of cousins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never a dull moment back there.
What was Edna like?
Huh?
What was Edna like?
She was quiet, calm. I never seen her go off a deep end, but with those kids, they said that they got beat every now and then. But Ruth, they were all characters. Ruth, I had a deer stand behind their house, and I had a pretty high. I had a string hanging down, tying my gun on it. So I'd crawl up there in the morning, pull my gun up, you know. She goes back there one day, and she pulls the string up to the top. And leaves it, then climbs down. So I went back there, I had to climb up, drop the string, That's just kind of crap they were played on each other. But they were all right.
Well, Lois, was Lois one of the younger ones?
One of the middle ones. And she still lives in Delaware.
Yeah, she's got I talk to her occasionally on Facebook.
Yeah, she's a diehard liberal.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The only reason I keep her on there is because she has some good pictures.
Yes, she does.
She makes me so mad sometimes I want to slap her. When we were building our dairy barn, about 1953, and interestingly...
This is in Deep Creek?
Yeah, that was our farm over there by where Marv lives on part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a sailor suit on there. And I still remember that thing. Little did they know I was going to get the real one. That's a rare picture of our entire family.
Now, Paul was your dad's brother, right?
Yeah.
They went to Pantego too, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then he got married again. Cause Bertha died down there. And he got married to Fanny, and she lived in Grantsville, so he moved up there.
Mm.
And then it wasn't long until the girls all moved out to Crockett, Kentucky to work for Rod and Staff Publishing. And there's two of them. Mildred's 93, I think, and she's still up there working, and Catherine's still up there working. Miriam and Rachel died of COVID last year, about a week of each other. Lived together, and Mildred and Catherine lived together in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's hanging on the wall over my head there. He was over 200 pounds.
Great day.
They got him behind Olin's house over there.
Mm.
And that one, too. That's Sharon. Turn his light up.
Now, they lived on number 10 Lane?
Yeah, their house is still there. It's built up around it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your brother Marvin took me on a tour, showing me all the old houses that were still there.
My granddad's family and the only two surviving boys was Henry and Paul there.
Now, he's buried in Deep Creek, right? Your grandpa?
Yeah.
Where's your dad buried?
He's actually in...
Floyd, Virginia.
But got him a single stone up there, but he already had a stone down here with my mother at Mount Pleasant, and had his name and everything but the date of death. And so we discussed it and decided to just go ahead and put the date on it.
Right.
In case we ever want to move him or anything. But for now, there ain't nobody there.
Okay, because that confused me, and I wanted to make sure to ask you that. So since I'm the graves person, I was looking. I said, wait a minute.
The second from left is my grandfather and his brothers and sisters.
So not all of them were as plain and conservative as he was then.
He was the only one.
Really?
He was the only plain one out of the bunch that I know of.
Were they raised Amish? Or...
He was Methodist at one time, but they were of Amish origin too. They were from Allensville, and my mom was from Belleville.
Okay.
And when I look back through the family tree, she was related. There was three Zook brothers come over from Europe, and one of them didn't have any children. The other two, she was related to. And my dad's unrelated to one of the two of them. So our family tree looks like a telephone pole.
Were they called Zooks in Europe, or were they called Zugs?
It was pronounced about the same.
Mm-hmm. But was it spelled Z-U-G in Swiss?
T-S-U-C-H, I think, was the way it's pronounced. But it was spelled Z-U-G. And then they changed it. Same way with the Bowers and Beelers and a lot of those, got changed. That's Sharon's mom with the sheep back there at their old house. they had sheep at one time.
Hmm.
Yeah, he had about 55 acres back there and had sheep on it. And that that Sharon. Oh, when he used to put her on the tractor, he'd get in a ditch or something and put it in gear and then go jump in whatever was in the ditch and she'd steer it. Some of the best times I can remember at Deep Creek were the 2 week summer Bible schools we had.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody come out there. We had usually about 80. And Charlie Warfel was always the principal, and that's him standing in the window.
Marvin John. Who's Marvin John?
My brother.
Oh, okay. And that's Charlie in the window. do you remember my grandmother, Grammy Hostetler, Nettie Hostetler?
Yeah.
She was a gossip, and didn't have a very good opinion of anybody. But in revival services, she would always sit in the back and watch to see who raised their hands, and then check on them to see did it stick.
Hold them accountable.
And she always said she had her suspicions about Charlie because he really squirmed during the invitation. But he had this bobblehead thing. He didn't have any choice but squirm.
Charlie, he used to drive the same speed no matter where he was going, you know, slow. And my cousin, Roy Philip Payne, he used to live in Clark Hill. He was retarded.
Yeah,
and
I remember Roy.
He was sitting in the church one Sunday, and Charlie Warfel was preaching, and he said, "These Mennonite boys, they drive like they're demon-possessed." Then one of them ran me off the road down there by the Herring Ditch Bridge, and right after church, Roy Philip comes up there to pop, and he said, "I bet that was Marvin John." And Marvin said, "It wasn't me, it was Paul." But Charlie, he was always a principal of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe would go around and pick up about 2 carloads of kids. They'd be hanging out the windows and everything else up and down Route 17.
Mm-hmm.
We'd see people in the summer Bible school that we didn't see the rest of the year.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and everybody dressed up and had a good time. This is my maternal great grandparents. They were double second cousins.
Oh.
On the Zook side.
So this was your mother was a king?
That was my mother's grandparents.
Oh, okay, your great grandparents.
And a story about him, he got injured in a logging accident, and the doctor amputated his leg on the kitchen table. And back then, not many people survived an amputation.
Mm-hmm.
But he did survive, and he lived up until, I think, it was the late 30s or early 40s with one leg. And then that was my grandmother and my grandmother's grandfather and grandmother, Susie. They're both buried at Deep Creek.
Okay.
She died, she was about 83, I think, and he lived in 91.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Paul a copy of this, and he showed it to his sisters, and they didn't know who it was either.
Paul and Doris.
Yeah. He had a pretty 63 Ford. It had a red interior.
Mm-hmm.
Buried outside the Mennonites. He wasn't very popular either.
Oh, really? He got in trouble for that?
Well, I don't know if he got thrown out of the church or not. I don't remember.
Because?
But they married Doris. I think we're still in Deep Creek. I don't know if he got thrown out of the church for that.
But they moved to Pantego.
He had everything. Yeah. He had a car with a red interior. Boy, he was a talk of the town.
But they lived in Pantego for a while too, didn't they?
Yeah, a short while. And made her wear black stockings and all that kind of stuff. And then one Christmas, they had Christmas lights around their door and window and all. They got a visit from local constabulary at church. So they didn't stay down there very long. They might have been 2 years, 3 years,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. This was my family before I was born, and my dad had a huckster truck, and he'd go into town and peddle vegetables and stuff.
Hmm.
that they were lucky to even get to church in that thing without having a flat tire.
That's Marvin there.
Marvin, yeah. I wasn't born yet. And then that was me when my dad worked Yoder Dairies. He had a Yoder milk.
Okay.
Milk route. Isn't this Chester Ware?
No.
Who is it? It's at Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, it is at Mount Pleasant.
We had some kind of relationship going with them. We used to get cards from them and stuff. I thought they looked like him.
No, that isn't Chester. I don't think it's a Wanger. I don't recognize anybody in those pictures.
Doesn't say anything on the back, does it?
No, it doesn't. Oh, wait a minute. No, it isn't. That's not Mount Pleasant.
Not Mount Pleasant?
Mm-mm. I think that might be Newport News.
Wart River.
Right. See the steps? Mount Pleasant never had steps like that.
Yeah, they're brick.
Yeah.
I was looking at that porch up there.
Yeah, the porch looks like it, and the building looks like it.
It had a double door.
Yeah. And Wart River looked very much the same.
Yeah, I bet it was. I don't know who that would be. I don't recognize anybody in it. Sharon thought I was cute there. She wondered what happened to me. Now this one, can you name everybody in there? I think I probably can.
No, I can't. I've got this picture. And I'm right now, and it's on the side. That's Marilyn.
You got Carolyn May.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
That's Catherine Zook.
Okay.
The next one is, the next one I'm not sure about. The one behind her is Ruth Miller.
Okay. This one is Roy Winger's daughter, Ruth
Roy
Marie.
Winger.
Yeah. That's,
which one?
Ruth Marie.
Ruth Marie.
I think.
Okay. And then you got Ruth Miller, and then that's Viola.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Mildred Zook and Hilda Yoder.
Mm-hmm. This was at Marion's wedding, right?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Let me write down. Well, I've got it because I can. So that's Marilyn. And who's the second one there beside Marilyn?
Carolyn May. It's Marion's sister. Carolyn May Miller.
Oh, okay. And Ruth Marie, and Ruth Miller, Viola, and that was, who was that one?
Mildred Zook. She's the oldest. She's 90, she's still living, 93. Still works up there at the publishing in Kentucky on a Paul system. And we always had an aviator in the family. That was Paul, Uncle Paul. He used to build models, fly planes.
So this is Paul's dad.
Yeah, Paul Sr. Yeah. And this is Virginia Beach General Hospital on, I think it's 25th Street or something. I can't remember exactly where it was. And that's my dad's Yoder's milk truck parked in front of it. He had that milk route down there at the oceanfront. You remember the old Beach General Hospital?
Vaguely.
I had an operation there one time on my hand.
Uh-huh. Who actually owns the church now?
That's a long story there. We owned it when Deep Creek abandoned it, and the preacher at the Mount Pleasant Methodist Church rented it. They were paying, I think, $1,200 a month rent, and I was a trustee, Kenny Kurtz and Mike Brown, and they were collecting rent. Not how we're doing the maintenance. And so we got a call from the...
Who is Mike Brown?
Mike Brown is Nellie Hooks' husband. And he was attending there, him and Nellie. Anyway, we got a call from the church council over there. They wanted us to be there. And Phil, he was getting seen all the time. He said the Calvary River Newport News was still... In a conference event.
Mm-hmm.
They left soon after. But Phil promised to to them, and he gonna give it to them. And we disagreed. We said, not a good place for an all-black church and an all-white community there, and they're gonna be coming in all with New Bernese. Said, why don't you sell it and use the money to support Lansdowne or something like that? They all fell right in behind Phil. And some of them disagreed, but they all fell right in behind Phil. So we wouldn't sign the deed, so they fired us. And they signed it themselves. They gave it to Calvary, and the thing stood empty for a year with the doors unlocked. The cemetery growed up. Finally, they got a guy, he was from South Africa, come in there, and he started a black congregation. And he got deported. So it stood empty again for a while. Then they rented it out. I don't know what happened to them, and now it's rented again to a different black church. But Calvary owns it.
Okay, so they deeded it. They just deeded it to Calvary as a gift.
Deeded it to Calvary, free.
The Slayballs were some of the first people to Deep Creek, weren't they?
That was an Amish house, an Amish farm that he bought back there. So yeah, he was. They came from Moyock. They moved down here with the original Joseph C. Slayball, his son Neil Slayball, Neil Slayball's children, Joe, Levi, Al, and can't remember her name now. There was one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They moved. They were the first ones down, and so they were some of the first ones in Deep Creek. The Mass, I think, were probably the first. You know who that is?
It's Annabelle.
She was my fourth grade teacher.
Oh, really?
Deborah Hose about that long. She used to wear us out. <that day. laughs> And everybody knew her and Martin Yoder had something going on. They'd always walk home from school together. And
oh, really? Her and Martin? He was quite a bit younger than her, wasn't he?
Martin was in school. He was our student. He was about seventh or eighth grade, I guess. I was in like fourth grade, and we all knew what was going on. Hey, you knew Cletus Hobbs, right?
Oh, yeah.
His wife, Ruth, had a sister, Rosa. She was married to Keith Mullet, lived down in Pantiga. They moved there from Montana, but they were from Harrisonburg. And, you know, he was so hard on his members of his church and everything, he raised Old World Amish. He tried to straddle the fence between Mennonite and Amish, you know. And anyway, he had four kids, and only one of them turned out plain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Martha.
Yeah.
Dan, he was a shyster from the get-go. Been in your army, and then he left Edna with five kids.
Yeah.
And then he had, I can't think of the other two's name, but they turned out just about like that. That's just before my mom died, probably about a month before she died. She had sarcoma cancer.
Mm.
They treat that now with chemo, and they didn't have chemo back then. This was Uncle Paul and his second wife, Fanny. She had a big motel up there in Grantsville. We used to stay there sometimes. Mm. We'd go to Springs Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good restaurant, like an Amish restaurant, and a big hotel there and everything.
And it was
Main Street going through Grantsville. And she had a big house right near there.
What was the name of the hotel?
I don't remember the name of it. But she had...
Now, is Grantsville just across the line from Springs?
Yeah. Grantsville, they're both in Maryland, right? No, Springs, Pennsylvania.
Springs is in...
It's only about, I don't think it's 20 miles.
It's about 5 miles.
We stayed in.
I wonder if that's the hotel we stayed in, because there's one right downtown.
It's a place to stay right downtown. Got a good restaurant. It's like a one-story hotel. There was a restaurant, there was a wrecker sitting out front, said Zook's Hook. I lived in Greenwich over there on Parliament Drive. They moved down here. See, my dad and Paul came down here to work for the Wangers. when they were teenagers. And the rest of the family lived in Pocomoke.
Well, which wingers?
Well, Pop worked for AD, and Paul worked for Tim. And then he went back. Pop went back. Now, Paul stayed here. He worked for Ford plant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Pop went to back to Pocomoke and got a farm, got married, and had a couple of children there. Three were born there. And he lost a farm during the Depression, so he came down here to work at Yoder's. That's how we all wound up there, and they lived on Parliament Drive over there in Kempsville. And Maud's husband, she was married up there in Pocomoke, and had three children in her. Had a shyster of a husband that left her. He had been in the Army, and he'd come up there and joined the church, and got everybody thinking he was a good guy. He married her, and he used to work the daylight, used her for a slave, practically. He had a farm nearby, and finally she just had enough, left him, went and lived with grandma.
How did the Paines wind up? Because the Paines were from Maryland, too, weren't they?
Who?
The Paines, Hilda and Roy?
They, that was my Aunt Grace. Lived there, and that's where they were, where Hilda was raised. Grace died childbirth with Roy Paine. He remarried somebody in Pennsylvania, up around Allensville, Big Valley, somewhere up there. And he had children too, so they moved up there, and eventually she came back and married Clark Yoder. Do you remember Alvy Yoder? Alvy Yoder was Fred Yoder's brother, Dan Yoder's brother, and he married Iva, and they had seven kids, and he got killed in a truck accident, burned to death up there in South Hill. And she was widowed with seven kids, and my dad was widowed. His kids all gone. So they got married. She had seven. They had two more, Judy and Daniel. And then they had 42 foster kids, kind of like your mom was doing over there. They were making a little extra income with it. But anyway, they left Pantigua because they wouldn't let them draw Social Security on those kids. She was drawing Social Security on seven kids. And so they moved it back up to Gladys. But Pop thought Caroline ought to go out with him. I think she went out with him one time. She didn't like him. All he could do was pop kids. He was lazy. They were dirt poor. I mean, poor as church was. They used to live down there on Herring Ditch Road in a little four-room house right next to Eli Kramer on Herring Ditch Road before they moved to Gladys. That's my dad, and the one on the left is Jonas Mast. And he was one of the first ones that lived back there. They lived right on Route 17, and him and his brother Harvey had all that land where the Nike site was. Marvin's wedding, they're at the reception in this one. I can tell you who they all are, not written on the back. That one on the left is Annabelle. And then the next two were from Ohio. They were cousins of Laura. Catherine and she can't think of her name now. The other one. And then that's
Laura and
Paul and old, isn't that Owen? I can't
see it kind of looks like him.
And then all the way on the left on over there, that's Noel Sears. He was from Richmond. He was one of Bernard Sheets' good friends. They weren't in 1W together. But Annabelle was, him and Noel Sears used to like date Annabelle whenever he come down.
Who's that beside Olin, between, says Noel
Paul,
Sears?
That's Paul Jr., and he had, it was a hot day. It was about 100 degrees in that church. And Paul bought a cheap suit. You can see him, he sweated through it. Well, when by the time they got to the reception, the sleeves were up to here. I can't remember. remember the other one from Ohio, Catherine and Betty.
I didn't realize that Annabelle was involved with the Deep Creek Church.
I don't know that she was. She was taught school over there one mm-hmm. year, and Noel Sears would date her when he came down. That's right. How she wound up in that wedding.
Mm.
Noel Sears and Bird, they lived on the south side of Richmond and Wart River. Used to have tent meetings up there on a vacant lot. Mm-hmm. And Bernard liked singing, so him and Noel went down there to tent meetings, and both of them got saved. And mm-hmm. They didn't have a Mennonite church up there yet. So Ralph Ziegler was the first preacher. They finally founded a Mennonite church. I think they had it in his house, in Bernard's house for a while. I think his mm-hmm. dad had died young of a heart attack. And Bernard had a bunch of brothers and sisters, and his mom was interested in it. But anyway, Bernard was in the National Guard at the time. And him and Caroline got Bible school up there, and they wound up getting married. Funny thing about Caroline, she was the only one in our family got to go to high school. She went to EMHS.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't doing nothing with it, and they needed a school teacher down there. So my dad volunteered her for 2 years. She decided it was easier to get married, so she got married. They lived here for a while. Where was I going with this? Anyway, I can remember that they had gotten married, and he got a draft notice. He was in the National Guard, and he was already a member of the church and everything. Uh-huh. So I remember Eli coming down there and talking to him one night to see how conscientious he really was, you know. They wound up sending him to, got 1W, went to Brattleboro, Vermont, and that's how Marvin and Cleotus Miller and can't remember who else went up there, but they had a Mennonite a house where the Mennonites would Mennonite boys could mm-hmm. stay there, and he stayed up there for a while after he got out for 1W. But I've already seen that one. This is the Holly Grove Church as it looks today. My grandpa built the original church. And the floor of it is still in the, when you go in the front door, mm-hmm. that's the original sanctuary. And then they built the new sanctuary off to the left. But the floor is still the original lumber that he got somebody to donate a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Took it to a sawmill. He didn't have any money. He wanted to get a church built. And took a donated tree, and somebody donated the sawmill labor, and he built the original. You were talking about how you never thought you'd be doing something like this. I never thought I'd be playing music. And about the time I retired, I got into this band. They were a great bunch of guys. For close to 20 years, we played together. All over the place, nursing homes, assisted living, churches. Mm-hmm. Bluegrass festivals, bar mitzvahs, you name it.
Well, what did you call the band?
It was the Sunshine Express Band.
Sunshine Express.
And, the leader of it's not in there. The one he had died, but he was the one that had started it.
Well, what year was this?
Yeah, huh?
What year would this have been? What year would this have been?
I think it was probably about 2019. Cause it was just before the COVID. They were, three of them were in their 90s. They're all dead now except for, he's almost 90. That mm-hmm. before Jonas joined our group. It was probably about 2018 or 17, mm-hmm. something like that. But, man, they were, we were all different religions, and we never had one discussion about religion. I mean, they were all good Christian people,
yeah.
too. I mean, we had Baptist Church of Christ, Pentecostal, Mennonite, and we never argued or sort of discussed anything other than the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We just didn't do it. Now, this is Paul and Henry when they worked down here, and I think that's Tim Winger's house.
Yeah, Tim Wenger's house. That would have been across from the school, because that was a two-story.
Paul, he's like riding Harley Davidson motorcycles.
Mm.
He was a little older than Pop, so he had one when they lived up in Pocomoke. And he was wild. He'd ride standing up on the seat with his arms out and all kind of stuff. So Pop always wanted to ride that thing. He wouldn't let him. So one day Paul was gone. Pop got that motorcycle out of the garage, got it started, went down the road on it. Doing pretty good. Coming back past Paul standing in the yard talking to somebody. He come back. He was so proud of himself. He went to go in the shed. And he forgot which way to twist the throttle. And he opened it wide open and went right out through the back of the shop. Bit the forks there. And he thought Paul was going to kill him. But Paul come down. Paul come home, looked at it. He just bent over laughing. And then I had one years and years later after I left home. I rode it down Pantego one day. And he got on that thing and rode it down the road. Only two times
in really?
Life he ever rode a motorcycle. He got rode down the road and back and got off of it. That was it. And then I had a pickup truck that I bought from somebody I worked with at Cargill. It was a 55 Chevy pickup truck, and it was a cameo. It had the fiberglass body, and the guy had used it for drag race now, Creeds.
Mm-hmm.
Had 348 in it with three deuces.
Great day.
Back end lowered, front end jacked up, hearse shifter and all that. I needed some transportation. He wanted to sell it, so I bought it. And I drove it down there, and it didn't have no mufflers on it. I mean, that thing was loud. And one Sunday morning, Pop's car wouldn't start, so he loaded Iva and all seven of them kids in the back of that truck went to church. And David, Iva's son, David, is the only boy in the family. He still laughs about that van. He said they went rumbling down the road, hanging out the back of that truck.